The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered with a quality health plan from the new Health Insurance Marketplace, part of the healthcare law. It's where brand name companies offer plans you can compare side by side, and it's the place to get lower monthly payments.
I'm covered.
So if you have an accident, get sick, or just need a checkup, I'm covered.
We're covered. Now we're covered.
Enroll now at the Health Insurance Marketplace at healthcare.gov.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good morning.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Farrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the Serious Side.
My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger. On my orders, coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance to undermine Saddam Hussein's ability to wage war. These are opening stages of what will be a broad and concerted campaign.
According to the official White House version, it was at this moment in a Florida classroom that Bush learned the second plane had hit the World Trade Center and that the U.S. was under attack. But here's what George Bush himself said almost 3 months later when asked about September 11th.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower of a TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And said it must have been a horrible accident. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it.
Now, wait a minute. George Bush was told about the second plane while he was inside the classroom. So you just heard him describe seeing the first plane crash on television that day. But that's impossible. No one saw the first plane crash on TV on September the 11th. Because the videotape of it didn't surface until the next day.
It's been 735 days since the Miami Heat posed in hoodies to honor slain teen Trayvon Martin. But in a soon-to-be-published New Yorker piece, Kobe criticized the Heat for their public stance. Here's what he told the New Yorker. I won't react to something just because I'm supposed to, because I'm an African American. That argument doesn't make any sense to me. So we want to advance as a society and as a culture, but say if something happens to an African American, we immediately come to his defense. Yet you want to talk about how far we've progressed as a society. Well, we've progressed as a society, then don't jump to somebody's defense just because they're African American. You sit and you listen to the facts just like you would in any other situation, right? So I won't assert myself.
I am not a role model.
Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is March 30th, 2014, and you're in tune to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call-in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272, and you too could be a part of the conversation. And, of course, I'm J. Rouse. I never shared a stage by myself. First up, she is the host of Ladies First Radio, the host of the True Purpose Development Show, and the host of Transforming Detroit, a television show that's shown in the Detroit and the Canadian area. She's also the author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adeya. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fabulous. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Doing good. I'm doing good. I'm somewhat of a hodgepodge of topics this morning, but I think that we got them covered, and I can't wait to get into the conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Of course, the man who gets the first and last word around here, the man who really runs the joint, my right-hand man and birthday boy. Let's say good morning to the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Good morning to you. And good morning to you, Dr. Dave.
Good morning and happy birthday.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
And way to appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Of course, Jerome Esprit, our political strategist, as soon as he's done with his commitments with Clear Channel Radio, he usually joins us, so we'll be looking forward to his participation in today's topics. Once again, you can participate as well. Pick up the phone. You can be a part of it, or you can participate by making your comments in our chat rooms, or if you're listening from another website, social media is a hell of a thing. And if you put the comments out there, we'll find it, and we will read your comments, hopefully, if they're good enough, during the chatterbox section of the show, which happens later on. But we have a great list of things to talk about. Let's just get right into it. First up, you heard George W. Bush make the announcement that the U.S. was going into war with Iraq back in 2003. Former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld has made news this past week. He's been criticizing the Obama administration for their handling of the Ukraine issue with Russia, which begs to differ and which poses the first question of the morning, Mr. Elias. First of all, Donald Rumsfeld has the audacity to resurface from wherever he has been. But here's a question for me, for you. Should members of the Bush administration be brought up on war charges?
Yes, I would say yes. Yes, most definitely. Because you know something, man, after watching that being Dick Cheney, the world according to Dick Cheney, yes, they should be brought up on war charges.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, if you watch that documentary on the world according to Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. This cat knew there was no weapons of mass destruction. He knew that there was no chance that they would find any plutonium or whatever over in Iraq. He knew it. I watched that program vehemently, and he knew for a fact that there was no weapons of mass destruction. He knew there was no threat from Saddam Hussein at all, but they still wanted to go to war with these people. He knew that. He knew it, and he said, I don't apologize for anything that I've done. Now, if you're that arrogant, you need to be brought up on charges for war crimes. I implore anybody to go look at that program. It will really upset you.
But I guess my question for you, Mr. Elias, as I continue with you, when we talk about, so he should be brought up on war crimes because they decided to invader. I mean, I guess what would be the premise of the charges? I mean, you tell me, what exactly did they do wrong?
What are we going to war with them for, Jay? We went to war with the thought process that they had weapons of mass destruction. We invaded Iraq with the thought process that they had weapons of mass destruction. They had none, and the office of the president, you know, Dick Cheney knew this. He knew it, and he apologized for nothing. Why do we take and kill 3,500 soldiers for your own progress, for your own, I want to go to a war with you? He knew it. He knew there was no weapons of mass. He knew it. There was no weapons of mass destruction.
It was more than that.
And so you put everybody's life in danger, and you knew there was no weapons of mass destruction. You should be brought up on war charges. You know, we always talk about Obama with the drone killing and, you know, how they kill innocent civilians. What about the Bush administration where they killed our own innocent civilians? For going into a war for weapons of mass destruction when you know there's no accountability for that. There's no weapons of mass destruction. So that's what it should be brought up on charges for.
Yeah, I hear you. But I guess my thing is that, you know, you talk about, you know, because they lied to the American public. Is that necessarily a war crime? Let me get your thoughts on it, Dr. Princess Audio. What do you think about this?
Okay, I'm going to ask a couple questions myself. If this was Obama, would he be impeached by now? Would we even be having this discussion for
I'm sorry?
Such? I said if this was President Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
Bush, President Barack Obama, and he had done
okay.
this, would we even be having this discussion? Or would he had already been impeached? And would he not
Good
be
point.
Charged already? Okay. Yeah, right. He would have been gone. My good friend and also our eldest U.S. Congressman, John Conyers, he actually
mm-hmm.
had brought up an he actually presented an unofficial meeting during that time to, you know, consider grounds for impeachment for Bush. And
is that right?
At,
is that on the record
yeah,
somewhere?
It is. It's actually,
okay.
When I did my research, I found it in Wikipedia. I can actually go to it. It says, on June 16, 2005, Representative John Conyers assembled an unofficial meeting to discuss the Downing Street memo and to consider grounds for impeachment. And this is under Bush's Wikipedia. This Conyers
okay.
filed a resolution on December 18, 2005 to create an investigative committee to consider impeachment. His resolution gained 38 co-sponsors before it expired at the end of the 109th Congress. He did not reintroduce a similar resolution for the 110th Congress. And then it says Keith Ellison was the leading figure behind the resolution to impeach Bush brought to the Minnesota State House of Representatives. So the bottom line is within Congress alone, they wanted him out. There was obvious behavior that was definitely not suitable for White House, and he was allowed to stay there, remain, and throughout his entire term. That would not have been the case if it had been our President Barack Obama, and my feeling on it is it's sad because we lost people. Iraq, it's been a horrible, horrible situation that still lingers today, the results of it. So,
yeah, absolutely correct. Let's bring in our political strategist, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jay. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Listen, we're talking about war crimes. Your war crimes you brought against some of the members of the Bush administration for the Iraq war.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of an easy one. I think you asked LES, what is a war crime? A war crime
yes.
is invading sovereign territory. They lied to the UN. All that is on the record. Lied under false pretenses and removed a sovereign nation from power. The same thing that we're talking about in Crimea. Like the reason that the U.S. won't defend Crimea at all is because it was a former Soviet bloc country. It has enough Russians in it to win an outright vote, but they were kind of annexed. It's like saying the state of New Mexico has a lot of Mexicans in because we just drew a line, you know, under Mexico, and there's been people who've been in this country that were Mexican, right? We can't
right.
kick them out and just say Mexico just want to annex New Mexico again. I mean, even if they did, the United States would never have it. So as far as the UN is concerned and what a war crime is that you can't go into a sovereign nation without a declaration of war and provocation. So the war crimes start to mount up when we started, you know, executing people. We acted as if Saddam was executed by his own people, but we handed him over, gave him a gun, and then set the stage and then filmed it. And let alone the war crimes of Guantanamo Bay. I mean, they admitted to waterboarding and all of the torture. That's a war crime in itself. And you have to remember, if you want to look it up, he already has indictments for war crimes in international court. So I forgot how many countries sponsored that when it happened. But
yeah, I remember
He has an arrest warrant from the international courts. Bush does. Now, I don't know what – I'm sure Cheney's probably in that chain as well, like of people to bring up as either co-conspirators or not, because Cheney is still going out bragging about the fact that we tortured people, but it was necessary. You can't do it under the Geneva Convention, which constitutes a war crime under that international law. And so technically they're going to have to answer to the UN. Now, the difference between that and impeachment is two different things, but they lied to Congress, too. So there's impeachment grounds as well.
Yeah, and there's definitely something called a SOFA agreement, the Status of Forces Agreement, where all nations signed this agreement saying that if you capture a prisoner of war, you know, you're supposed to treat that person humanely. And, you know, and so when you talk about the fact that torture definitely is not a part of the SOFA agreement, you know, Jerome, you're absolutely correct. But is this a situation that you talked about the UN, and I want to ask you this question, Ms. Elias. You talked about, Jerome talked about the UN, saying that the UN, they have to answer, they as in the United States or Bush or whoever has to answer to the UN. Well, listen, we're a participant of the UN. I mean, it's headquartered in New York. I guess my question is, if people felt that these crimes, people as far as the international community felt that these crimes were so egregious, why are they not holding the U.S., why are they not demanding the U.S. to hand Bush and his cronies over? Is it a situation where they're saying, well, you know, but you are the U.S., and so you're the biggest country, the biggest, baddest person on the block, so we're not going to rattle that chain with you guys, but we want you to know that, you know, we really like to try these guys, but hey, you know, do it at your convenience. Why isn't the international community more outraged that the U.S. hasn't done anything about Bush, you know, Cheney and Rumsfeld?
That one, Jay, is a great question. I mean, hell, if I was an international community, I would be outraged. I would definitely be. I'm an American citizen, and I'm outraged at these guys, you know, that the lies that they put out there. Their lies were so bad that Colin Powell resigned from his post because Cheney gave Colin Powell the information that he read right there in front of Congress so that we could go on the war. And all of it was lies. It was lies from the pit of hell that made that guy resign because he couldn't take it anymore. So why didn't they do that? Why didn't they go after these guys? I couldn't tell you, Jay. You know, only God knows. But if I was in the international community, I would be outraged at what the United States did. They lied. And they know they lied. And they said they lied. And they knew they lied. They don't give a damn because they're arrogant bastards. They're very arrogant. Cheney is a very arrogant person, very arrogant.
Well, let me ask you, Dr. Princess O'D, is it a situation where, hey, listen, the United States is the United States. We are the world police. We're not going to, you know, yank on Superman's cape. So, hey, we'll allow the U.S. to do what they want. When they feel it's necessary, these people will be brought to justice. Or is it a situation where we're saying, look, they're, you know, they're presidents. You know, you've never heard of a president, a U.S. president, being charged for war crimes. What are your thoughts on that question?
Well, we are the world, and we are our president now is for the people. We're all family, right? They have to pay the price how we would have to pay the price if it was us, even more so. You know, that you would expect for the leaders to back up what is required of us as well, to follow the law, to abide, and to answer for it. We have to answer for it. Why shouldn't they be put in that position? Why shouldn't they have the same responsibility? Even greater. We look up to them, right? Or do we? You know,
who are you referring to as far as them?
Well, the people that are involved. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, the people, we have more power than what we give ourselves credit for. Because if we made a loud enough voice, made enough stink about something, we can move anything. The people could bring Congress, bring the White House to doing what they need to do. But a lot of times, like the question that you're asking here this morning, a lot of times we don't feel that we have that much power. More people spend time talking about what power they don't have and how it doesn't matter if they're going to do it, you know, if they said something or not, to the point that you have thousands, millions of people thinking the same thing, and that's just what we think. And so everybody sits like a bump on a log, and nobody does anything to make to enforce it.
Yeah.
So we're what are we doing to enforce it?
What about you, Jerome?
Responsibility to them.
What do you think about this? I mean, is there if that's the case, why isn't the international community more outraged behind this nonsense?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of the international community not doing anything. I think when you put a warrant out on someone, it's up to it's why Bush's travel schedule, he hasn't really left the country. I mean, just think about why he won't leave the country. So when he went to Mandela's funeral, he went on the plane with President Obama. And the reason that he did is because they won't arrest you when you're coming to part of diplomatic missions, because there's...
I don't know if we lost Jerome. You know, the thing is that we lost him. We'll get him back. Okay, you're back. Go ahead, Jerome. We lost you when you talked about they did not arrest him while he was on board Air Force One. And go ahead and continue from there.
Yeah, when he went to Nelson Mandela's funeral. So, he rode with the president. But if he travels as a private citizen outside of the protection of the United States, you know, just to go speak at Cambridge or someplace, they have a right to arrest them, but it's the nation that has to do that. Like, whoever's FBI or CIA, they're going to arrest them. They put out a warrant for them, and every country that is in the UN has the ability to do that, and there was only maybe 20 or so that said they are going to enforce it. So he'll go to Canada. He'll go to any U.S. ally to some degree, but I'm sure he won't step out of bounds here. He's going to figure that out before he leaves. But it'll be interesting because he could actually get kidnapped by somebody else's foreign services and taken to their embassy. And if that happens, like if he's in Switzerland, he canceled a visit to Switzerland, to Geneva, for some event. But that's what the international court is. And they said, we have to arrest you if you come here. Like, Switzerland is neutral, but he has a warrant out in international court for George Bush. So they said, we're going to have to arrest him. He doesn't have diplomatic credentials there.
You know, I was thinking the exact same thing when you talked about, you know, a foreign power coming in and kidnapping him. Now, obviously, they can't do that in this country because it'd be hell to pay. Well, I'd like to see it. Yeah, they could.
Yeah, they could.
But they could, but I doubt very seriously they'd get away with it, that's for sure. I don't see how any
I don't know what you mean by that. You mean
what I mean by that is like how we – okay, let me give you an example. Like how we flew into Pakistan and did what we did with Osama bin Laden. I don't see any foreign service trying to come into the United States of America within the boundaries of this country and take, you know, George Bush or anyone else. I just don't see how they would even get away with that.
There's foreign services that kidnap people out of this country all the time. I don't know
really,
what,
is that
I don't
right?
know what you mean by that.
Give me an example of one.
I think you're saying because he's high profile.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't see it.
It's hard to kidnap any high profile people because they have entourages. But getting somebody out of the country is not a difficult task.
Is that right?
Our borders aren't guarded like that.
Yeah, I just don't see how that can happen. I'm talking about someone. You're talking about a full scale, you know, Delta Force type situation. Come in,
invading. Yeah,
okay.
Nobody's going to invade the U.S., no. I'm talking about somebody actually coming in and snatching them. That's plausible. But nobody, yeah.
Okay.
You know what's funny about that? Bill Clinton was at the New York State Fair speaking at a dinner one year after 9/11. And, and it had to be the next summer after 9/11. And Bill Clinton said, you know, don't believe that there's not going to be bread on the shelves at your grocery store tomorrow because of 9/11. Nobody's coming in this country. Nobody's setting foot here. Now, even if there's a few terrorist things, nobody is coming to take away the United States' freedom like we went into Iraq,
like, you know,
right.
Russia is massing troops with that country. Nobody's coming in here. So we could talk noise all we want to about making people have fear of all of these nations and Cuba and all that other stuff, but you are going to have milk and bread on your shelves in the morning. You're going to go to every grocery store and watch a movie like you always have. It is not going to happen.
Right, right. And that's what I'm talking about, yes. Yeah, so I don't think anyone can come in here and snatch or do whatever. I mean, you're right. I guess people can't kidnap folks. It happens within the country borders every day. But I just, you know, for someone to come in and do what we did to, you know, Osama bin Laden, I just don't see that happening. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. It's 23 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about should members of the Bush administration be brought up on war charges, and it sounds like everyone is in agreement. I think they should as well. I think that if you broke international law, then if we are the police of the world, then we should start by looking in our own kitchen, looking in our own house. And the bottom line is the administration admitted that they did torture. And, you know, this is not something that's new on the books with the Obama administration that we will not torture. We made that proclamation. But the bottom line is that under the SOFA agreement, we're not supposed to do things like that. So, Mr. Elias, let me get your final thoughts on this particular topic before we move on.
You know, some Malcolm X said the best when chickens come home to roost. Man, look, dude, these guys, you know, after watching that award, the World According to Dick Cheney, man, this guy, that was an eye-opening experience for me, and to how corrupt our government is, and to how bad they are.
Yes,
it's ridiculous, man. They don't, I mean, just did not care how they treated people. Didn't care the human lives that were lost. Didn't care what came down with it. Just, I don't care. That's the way it was. I apologize for nothing. And for you to be the second in command, you know, man, if something would happen to Bush, my Lord, man, I hate to think about what would have happened with Dick Cheney being in charge.
What about you, Dr. Priscilla? Then give me your final comments on this particular topic.
Well, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So everyone is responsible for their own actions, and we are not exempt from that. Our leaders should not be exempt from that. And if we don't like it, we should do something to enforce that there is change. And we do have the power. So as long as we sit quiet, there'll be nothing done. We're not really standing ground and saying to make it, you know, do something. It's just, it is what it is, unfortunately.
All right. Yeah. And Jerome, give me a final thought on this topic, sir.
Yeah. You know, I often make this case when I hear people, you know, corrupt police officer cases, and I hear people talk about they're breaking the law. The truth is, the police can't break the law just like you can. And the fundamental reason why they can is because if the law breaks the law, there is no law. So once all bets are off the table, you can't convict people by lying on them, for example, because once the credibility of the system that's doing the judging is corrupt, then there's lawlessness. So in the Bush-Cheney kind of situation, I can just say this. There's a reason why you vet vice presidential candidates, and I hope everybody learned a lesson from that. Just don't go, well, they ain't never going to be president, because Elias was right. That dude is scary. And I can imagine if that dude was, if he was actually president.
Yeah, absolutely. That guy there, you know, if nobody else, his ass alone should be sitting in some jail cell rotten, spending the rest of his remaining lot life somewhere. Let me pull up. All right, folks. One set in the books, but we're continuing to move forward. Coming up next, we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. There are a lot of them out there, especially surrounding Malaysia Flight 370. You're listening to The Serious Side on a beautiful Sunday morning. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is your resident map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show, every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show, a show for women, by women.
Hi, I'm Venus Williams. You know, I heard recently that the two main reasons for not getting an annual mammogram are limited access and fear. I know that there are low-cost and even free screenings at some hospitals and clinics, and I've even heard of mobile mammogram units in some areas. Talk about service. Look, I know getting a screening is not as exciting as shopping, but life is for living. So take the first step to breast health. Get the mammogram. For more information, please visit breastcancerawareness.com.
According to the official White House version, it was at this moment in a Florida classroom that Bush learned the second plane had hit the World Trade Center and that the U.S. was under attack. But here's what George Bush himself said almost 3 months later when asked about September 11th.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And I said, it must have been a horrible accident. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it.
Now, wait a minute. George Bush was told about the second plane while he was inside the classroom. So you just heard him describe seeing the first plane crash on television that day. But that's impossible. No one saw the first plane crash on TV on September the 11th because the videotape of it didn't surface until the next day.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Central, right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. It's 36 minutes after the hour. Let's say good morning to our panel once again. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adia. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I am doing very well. Good morning, everyone.
Also say good morning to the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
And once again, let's say good morning and wish happy birthday to the birthday boy himself, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
Once again, folks, you can participate in the conversation. Let's say good morning to a few people who may be tuned in to the show. I want to say good morning to always Eazy-E. Good morning, sir. How are you? Kavina Mann, what's happening? Good morning, sir. St. Clinton's in the house. Hello, St. Clinton. Good morning. Momo B., our colleague from the J. Rao Show, is in the house listening in this morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to all the guests that are in the chat room as well. Also want to say good morning to Michelle. Good morning, Michelle. Good that you're listening to us. Lily H., good morning to you. And last but certainly not least, to say good morning to Kim out of Katy, Texas. Good morning and welcome into The Serious Side. We'll continue to say good morning to everyone as the show goes on, but we have lots to get into. So now that it's been official, I guess we can say it's official, right, Mr. Elliott? The fact that now they're saying that flight MH370 officially crashed in the ocean, so it's just a matter of recovering the plane and unfortunately the bodies and hopefully the black box. But now,
yes,
as they converge in on the area which they thought the debris was, Mr. Elias, they're finding out that it's not really debris from the plane, but debris from fishing boats, trash from fishing boats and things of that nature. So now you're starting to hear the conspiracy theories talk. I mean, I think we had an episode on our show a couple of weeks ago. Someone said, did the flight go down or is it sitting in some remote location? It got me to thinking about some of the biggest conspiracy theories that we've had here in the past 70 years or so. But let's start with this particular situation, the here and now. Do you honestly think, Mr. Elias, that there's a chance that this flight could be sitting in a foreign country, that this flight is, you know, intact, there are survivors? Some people have compared this episode to the show Lost that was on ABC a few years ago. What do you think about this whole situation, Mr. Elias?
I mean, there's a chance for anything, Jay. You know, but the Indian Ocean is in. It's a vast ocean, so, you know, I find it strange that this thing just, you know, disappeared off radar and it can't be found. But then again, there's been so many planes that they said have disappeared off the screen like that before and been lost. So our colleague KT said it last week, you don't think it'll ever be found? I'm starting to come to that conclusion too, that it's never going to be found. I mean, every time they come up with something, oh, it looks like it's this, it looks like it's that. And Indian Ocean obviously has a lot of debris in it, because every time you look up, they think they found it. You know, they only got until, I think it's April 8th, until that black box stops pinging. So,
yeah.
Will it ever be found? I don't think so, man. I just really don't think so. I have a bleak outlook on it.
But let's go back to the conspiracy part. So you said anything's possible, but in your heart of hearts, do you honestly believe that some way, somehow, there's some major conspiracy, and this is the reason why we can't find this plane.
I think it's somewhere in the Indian Ocean, to be honest. I think it crashed somewhere in the Indian Ocean.
Okay, so
they don't have the technology to find it or whatever it is.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to get you on the record for that. What about you, Dr. Princess Aldea? What are your thoughts? Do you think there's some conspiracy out there? This is the reason why this plane disappeared, and that's the reason why we can't find it, because, you know, there's a huge conspiracy, a huge network of whatever going on preventing us from finding this plane?
I have so many. There are so many probabilities in this scenario.
We have other people. Just give us one, please.
I'll keep it simple. I will say that I believe that, yes, there is a conspiracy. I believe that there's a probability that there was a terrorist. There's a probability, I believe, yes, there's a conspiracy, and I believe they know exactly where the plane is.
So when you say they, who is they, Dr. Princess O'Dea?
I believe that the officials that are over the flight, they know. I believe they don't want to disclose. Maybe it's embarrassing. I just do. I really do. I mean, come on. I think they do. They know.
I guess.
Could there have been a terrorist on there, and he got up there with the captain and said, "Turn off everything. Don't let them. I want you to turn off all locators." And could that have happened? Absolutely, that could have happened. And in that scenario, then that would be the only thing that, okay, maybe they, I don't know. I can't even say that they don't know. I think for us to think that they really don't know, I think it's ludicrous. I believe they know, absolutely. I believe that they don't want to tell. And maybe them not telling is a safety measure. Maybe it's a call that they have to make. That they have to not tell, because that maybe will, going to save the country or something. I don't know, but I believe that they know.
Wow. Okay.
I really do.
All right. Let me get Jerome's thought on this. Jerome, what do you think?
What do I think about the whole concept of the conspiracy of it? Did I lose it?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerome. I'm sorry. I missed what you said. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Okay. I was just saying, like, on the conspiracy part, or just the concept of missing the plane,
the conspiracy part, because, you know, Dr. Princess O'Dea is saying that she believes that the plane, she believes that the plane is hidden somewhere and there's some huge agenda. So just your thoughts. Do you think that there's a conspiracy? This plane is sitting somewhere and there are people, you know, everyone survived the plane crash, I guess. I don't know.
Now, I can get the conspiracy just generally of things. Not in this case. Everything is not that. I think in the West, in our culture, we love sensationalism, right? It's Malaysia. They don't have to play by the same rules. They don't care. They don't give their people information the same way, and we're no better. So it's not that since we're investigating the craft, that stuff don't sound right. Each government has its way of delivering information to people. But for us to sit there and to, you know, put on X-File music and say it was aliens and all of that other stuff is crazy to me. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, when I watch the coverage, I think that we are so, in the United States, addicted to sensationalism and drama that even our news put on really nice graphics for the tragedy that happened. And it's Malaysia. It was, what, three Americans on it, maybe? I mean, that's how crazy we are to find that somebody else's garbage opposed to dealing with our own. That is sick to me. So even in the looking at somebody else's sickness, it's funny how that overtakes us. It's like a little kid in a well, right, to me. So I'm like, I don't know. You know, you don't know until I would let them do their investigation. They put together planes that blow up in the ocean, and they'll put them all back together in a warehouse at some point. And they've done that.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, they'll find out. But it's just funny that we, that whole speculation thing of trusting government and spin and all of that other stuff, you're talking about Asia and Malaysia and China. So when you start talking about Asia and, you know, the dynamic between Japan and North Korea or South Korea, they're never giving out information, and it's none of our business to even tell their government what they should or should not be doing. That's a cooperative UN thing once it happens in international waters. And we're talking thousands of miles of ocean. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think I'm with you. I'm in your camp with that. Let's bring in our I'm going to call this guy a TGRS contributor, my main man from the 219, KP. KP, man, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you all. Is everybody okay today?
Doing great, man. Glad to hear your voice. Definitely interested in what you have to say in regards to this topic. What say you?
Okay. I think that there is a conspiracy that's going on, but I think that that conspiracy is coming from a different direction than everybody is. In America, you know, we are so technologically, most of us, that we believe everything has to have a reason. So when, you know, seemingly senseless things happen, we have a tendency of, you got to ascribe blame to somebody about it. The conspiracy does not involve somebody being on that plane and maybe has a patent for a car that runs on water. And Big Oil had to kill it. It's not one of those conspiracies. I think that the conspiracy lies in Malaysia Airlines, that they know that if it was mechanical failure, that opens them up millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of damages from the families of those people who were killed on that flight. So they want to purposely keep stirring the pot, make people look in different directions, other than the fact that a lot of people don't really look at the bigger picture. If your pilot suicidal, he's depressed, his woman left him, whatever. If he's suicidal, guess what? You share in his suicidal thoughts. So if that pilot turned that plane around and basically just flew that plane until it ran out of gas and crashed into the ocean, there's no way for you to actually prove that. So if something like that, if you find out sign the black boxes, which takes recordings of what's going on inside the cockpit, find out that there was a struggle between the co-pilot and the pilot, and one of them killed the other or what have you, you open that airline opens itself up to millions and millions of dollars worth of punitive damages. It was, what, 260 people or something on that plane, something like that, and Malaysia Airlines is not like American Airlines or United. They don't have deep pockets like that they can just pay people. So I think that people are looking in the wrong direction as far as conspiracy is concerned. Planes go down all the time. Most of them we never hear about because they're not important stuff, put it like that. And it's like, I think it was Jerome that said, that's something that happened way on the other side of the world. And maybe it was a slow news week in America. They had to sensationalize and make this big deal, but planes crash all the time. There's somebody losing their life on a plane every day of the week. But because this is a mystery, drive rating. That's what I think. I think the conspiracy is there, but I don't think it's coming from where everybody. Aliens didn't take that plane. The plane has not landed on a beach somewhere in Tahiti or something like that. The passengers are not being held captive. But that kind of stretches the imagination.
Okay, KP, I'm going to, let me see if that's you. Well, it's like KP, I'm wondering where that noise is coming from. We're hearing some noise. Hold on, let me check. I'm testing everyone's mic. Okay, I think it's Jerome. Let me try that again. Yeah, it is. Jerome, why don't you, sounds like we have some issues with.
Okay, I'll call you on a different line. I was on mute, so I don't know how it was mine.
But I think your connection is not good, because when I mute your mic, the crackling will go away. Hang up and call right back in. Let's see if we can get that fixed.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. So now, you know, listen, I don't know if I would call that a cover. I mean, I'm looking, the term I would use in that case, KP, would be cover up. I'm not sure if I would call that a conspiracy, but hold that thought. Let me get back to some more phone. Let me get to another phone call here. Let me bring in Steve from Indianapolis. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the Serious Size. What's your comment?
Good morning, everyone. Comment is, the reason it's important to look at the Malaysian government is because you don't know if government officials are involved in that situation. It could have been a guy that was going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars if somebody didn't die that was on that plane. So when you're investigating, everybody's involved. Government officials, everybody that could have had anything to do with that plane, the flight simulator at the pilot's house, everybody's involved because you don't know the motive for bringing that plane down. Somebody could have lost hundreds of millions of dollars unless somebody died on that plane. That plane could be used in a future terrorist attack. They keep talking about, well, if it was a terrorism, they would be claiming victory right now. Well, see, they can use that plane transported by and try to... We have the reason I see is that, Chris, we have satellites that can track a nuclear weapon the size of my chest. So you telling me you want me to really believe track a plane, but they can track a nuclear weapon the size of my chest? And I don't believe that. I believe there's some ulterior motive going on. And just like the lead-in, you heard Bush talking about 9/11, and I remember my father got a phone call from the New York firefighter saying they heard explosives going off in the building. See, the thing is, folks, the media wants to shape the culture. You have to be smarter than the media. The media will tell you whatever they want to say. It could just be a distraction from the plane. We don't know, but we have the most full satellite on the planet. And you really need to tell me we keep track of the plane the size of the street I live on. I don't...
Wow, sir, looks like we lost Steve, too. I'm sorry, Steve. We have some issues with his mic as well. Steve, hang on and call back in. Let's bring in our colleague from the J. Ross Show, Vanessa. Good morning, Vanessa. What are your thoughts on this comment, on this particular topic?
Good morning, Jay. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know what? Me being in this industry is interesting because some of the stuff that's being said and some that's not. The only reason I don't think it is a conspiracy is because there are 8 countries out there using manpower to try to find it, to try to find an airplane. I do agree that if I can track my cell phone when I lose it, why can't I find a 757 airplane with 259 people on it? I don't understand why they see 300 pieces of debris, and even though they're running into weather and the debris is steady moving, NASA is even looking at it on satellite, but they can't get the ships to it, or they can't get a Black Hawk helicopter to fly where it is in the bad weather and drop some people down to see what that debris is. The debris that they did find didn't have anything to do with the airplane. So I'm kind of going back to what I said from the beginning, which is what one of your callers said. I think it's on an island somewhere. I don't know. I just don't think it's in their water because by now something would have floated. They said 300 pieces. Why they can't get somebody over there to see what those 300 pieces of items are? I don't understand why the families are saying, bring our families home. That's craziness. Those people are gone. They are dead. They are deceased. Because if that plane dropped down to 12,000 feet instantly like that, those people went into hypoxia, which means that they stopped breathing, so they died instantly. So if they didn't die from that, if it went in the water, they died from that because they drowned. And even if they were alive, even, Jay, if 2 or 3 people were alive or 15 people were alive, by now, since they spent so many days looking in the wrong area, those people are dead. And if they're underwater, the fish didn't eat them up, the water didn't eat them up, the sharks didn't eat them up. So I don't know why the family are over there saying, bring our families home. Then somebody, y'all, was saying, well, why is the United States involved in that? Well, we have allies with China. So we owe China the United States. We owe them so much money, it's not even funny. That's where our money comes from. So therefore, the United States is going to step in
and go ahead and help China look for those people, regardless if it was three Americans, one American, or no American. That is one of our allies where our money comes from. So we're going to step in and help. It's eight different countries that are helping. I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't even care about any of that. What I don't understand is why they have not been able to drop somebody down in that water with a Black Hawk helicopter over those 300 pieces of floating debris. That's what I don't get. I don't get that.
Okay.
And I work in the industry, and I don't get that. But I don't think it's a conspiracy with Malaysia Air, because guess what? They're going to get sued for billions of dollars with 259 people. They're going to get sued regardless if they try to hide if the pilot did it or not. They're going to get sued to the hill and back. And they don't have to have any money for that small airline because they have insurance that covers that kind of stuff. So they're not hiding because of that. They got insurance.
Okay.
But them people are going to get sued. They're going to sue them anyway.
Well, you know, it's always good to hear from someone that's in that line of business. 347-850-1272, Sirius Saturday, the Jay Rouse Show. It happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGR's radio network, online radio at its best. Now, I wanted to talk about, we're running out of time on this topic, but I wanted to just kind of look at all the conspiracy theories. I know the one with the MH Flight 370, that's the latest and greatest that's out there. But, you know, Mr. Elias, when we sit back and think about some of the other conspiracies people have talked about, I think Steve brought up 9/11. You know, the bottom line is there are people out there who really and truly think that the government has something to do with 9/11. And I guess real quick, I guess we have a few minutes left before we have to get into our last topic. Let me just go around here real quick, Mr. Elias. Do you think 9/11 was a conspiracy? Do you think it was an inside job that our nation did this to our own citizens to provoke war? Because, you know, one of the things I learned in the military a long time ago, and I remember this like it was yesterday. I remember we were in the class, and one of the drill sergeants were saying, listen, guys, the one thing that the U.S. always liked to have is a good scrimmage every 10 years because it boosts the economy, it makes things right, and it gets us right financially. And he said, if you go back and look at our nation's history, every 10 to 15 years we get into a fight or a war with someone. That being said, do you think 9/11 was an inside job?
Wow. After looking at the water calling Dick Cheney, I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, you wouldn't doubt it. There's always doubt, but I'm asking you, do you think it was?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it was, but I wouldn't be surprised.
That's fair. Fair enough. Dr. Princess O'D, do you think 9/11 was an inside job?
No. I think... We weren't up on our game. I mean, the people who did it, they learned how to fly planes and do all kind of creative things through in our own system. We invited them into our country. They did what they did, learned what they had to learn, and followed through with their mission. I don't think it was an inside job. I think it was they utilized their freedom in our country, and it backfired on us. No.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you, Jerome, do you think 9/11 was an inside job?
First, I definitely think it was possible, and I'm not really that sure, but I think it's definitely I think they definitely let the actions go through. I think that was very intentional. So an inside job, meaning that they planned it, I'll say no, but I would say that we probably were responsible for not stopping it.
Yeah, that's a good assessment. I agree with that. What about you, KP? Do you think 9/11 was an inside job, that it was something that this nation caused?
Nope. Usual disclaimer, like everybody else, yeah, anything is possible, but no, I don't, and one big reason. If it was an inside job, how do you account for the plane that went down in Pennsylvania? You know, you have the conspiracy that, you know, it was already pre-planned and there was explosives that was already in the building. It went off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't explain Pennsylvania, what happened with that plane. But I'm like Jerome. I think that they possibly could have known that it was getting ready to happen and maybe said, okay, let's not do nothing. Let it go through with it and let's go make some money. But I don't think it was conspiracy where they actually did it themselves.
Wow, but you just said something that, wow, I guess we'd pick that up on a different day. What about you, Vanessa, since you're still here? Do you think 9/11 was an inside job?
I think...
You do?
I, totally agree with Princess Odelia, because I just think that the people came over to our country, learned our ways, did our stuff, and got away with it. I don't think it was a conspiracy. I agree with her.
Okay. All right, well said. All right, folks, coming up next, going to talk about athletes. Kobe Bryant, man, he started a hornet's nest when he made comments about Trayvon Martin's death. You don't know what he said? You have to tune in. We'll tell you on the other side. It is The Serious Side, 347-850-1272. Participate. We'll talk to you on the other side.
If someone came to me now and said that I was just diagnosed, I would say it's really going to be okay.
There's hope. There's so much hope. Just hold on to the hope. You can make it. You'll be okay. You can get through this. This too shall pass. It's not fatal for everybody. Get informed, get involved, get your treatment, and then join the rest of us in the fight. It's actually been a positive experience. I look back and think, oh gosh, I could write a book on this and how cancer saved my life. I just have so much to be thankful for. I'm more grateful for the people around me who have been so supportive. I had no idea I had so many friends until the cards started coming. And it was just wonderful to see people reaching out and caring so much. Sometimes when I'm off the line and I get the opportunity to be in a different little area where I'm kind of off to myself, I dance. And they say, look at her, she's over there dancing. But if I had the chance to sit it out or dance, I think I dance. That's my motto.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Get in the fight. Take a loved one to have a mammogram done today.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Talking Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident map of the South, my little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio. Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
It's been 735 days since the Miami Heat posed in hoodies to honor slain teen Trayvon Martin. But in a soon-to-be-published New Yorker piece, Kobe criticized the Heat for their public stance. Here's what he told the New Yorker. I won't react to something just because I'm supposed to, because I'm an African American. That argument doesn't make any sense to me. So we want to advance as a society and as a culture, but say if something happens to an African American, we immediately come to his defense. Yet you want to talk about how far we've progressed as a society. Well, we've progressed as a society, then don't jump to somebody's defense just because they're African American. You sit and you listen to the facts just like you would in any other situation, right? So I won't assert myself.
I am not a role model.
Seven minutes after the top of the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning to the panel one last time. Let me say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adi, the Queen of Inspiration. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Good morning, everyone.
Say good morning to the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Doing outstanding. Can't wait to hear on the need-to-know basis, which comes up here in about an hour, folks, so stay tuned for that coming up at the top of the next hour. And, of course, the birthday boy himself, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Val wants to know, Mr. L.E.S., did you have a good time on your birthday? I told her I'd ask you that question.
Tell Valentine I had a lovely time on my birthday. Thank you for asking, Valentine.
All right, not a problem. Of course, our TGRS contributor, my main man, KP from the 219. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, and good morning to all.
And another member of the TGRS radio family, she's tuned in this morning. You know how it is when you're a family member. We always open the door for you. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
I love you, Jay. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Mr.
Ellis. Good morning.
How you doing, Nessa?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I also want to say good morning to Empress. Good morning to you. Good morning to Sweetness D from Orange Park, Florida. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Also, good morning to Latrell from Houston, Texas. How are you doing? Good morning to Annette from Columbus, Texas. A lot of Texas people in the house. Ida, Grand Prairie, Texas. Good morning to you and me, myself, and Houston, Texas. Good morning to you, ma'am, and glad you guys are in the house. Once again, that number is 347-850-1272. Don't forget now, coming up here in about 40 minutes, Chatterbox, you can put your comments in the chat room, or we can find your comments out there on social media. I don't care where you're listening from. If you put comments down, if there's an ability for you to type in comments, put your comments in, and who knows, we may read them during that segment of the show. And like I said before, coming up at the top of the next hour, it's on the need-to-know basis with our very own Jerome Esprit. Listen, Kobe Bryant made news this past week, folks, when he made comments about the Trayvon Martin case. Now, you heard the lead-in as far as what Kobe said, and this is not the first time athletes have been put on record who've been asked to participate in social media or social functions, I should say. So let me start with you, Mr. Elias. I heard you say, wow. First of all, what do you think about the comments that Kobe said?
I'll echo what Jim Brown said. Kobe Bryant is a coward. Bottom line, I implore anybody to read the book called $40 Million Slaves. Hey, look, you know, the athletes of yesteryear, these guys spoke out for what they believed in. They didn't care what the consequences were, the costs were. They didn't care about the money. They cared about the social issues in the world. And these athletes today, all they care about is the dollar. If you look at Ali, Ali spoke out for what he believed in. He was against the war. He was willing to go to jail for it. What did Jim Brown do? He spoke out against everything he believed in. Lew Alcindor did the same thing. Bill Russell did the same thing. These guys, what they do is they pay them that they got all this talent in the world. But how many have you heard them? How many of them have you heard speak out against anything besides what their shoe contracts are or what how much money they can make? You guys are cowards to the nth degree. And I agree. You know, hell, you're making millions and millions of dollars. Look, we were having the Chris Jackson, Mau. He refused to stand up to
the national anthem. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He's a Muslim. That's his religious right. What happened to him? He got blackballed because he stood up for what he believed in. And all the talent in the world doesn't stop you from being a coward. I believe Kobe Bryant is one of the biggest cowards out there, and he proved it by what he just said.
Tell us how you really feel, Mr. Elias. My goodness. Let me go to you on this one, KP. Because someone makes millions and millions of dollars, why? I mean, that's not his job. He's not a political activist. Why should he be responsible or be in a situation where it looks like what Mr. Elias is saying, he should be committed to making these comments? Why should that be placed on his head? He's just playing. He's a ball player. We don't require that from other people in our society to speak out against things. Why? Because he's rich and famous. He has a responsibility to make comments to the public about certain social matters.
Well, it's because of our celebrity-driven society that we live in. We automatically, it's because somebody has fame and celebrity, that necessarily makes them a spokesman for a particular point of view, whatever that point of view might be at that particular time. Now, I'm kind of on the fence with you know, I do believe that, you know, today's athletes need to be more like the Jim Browns, the Muhammad Ali's, or what have you. But I also look at the realism in the situation, too. Kobe Bryant made more money just last year than Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, and all of them made their whole entire careers combined. And when you stick $40 million in somebody's face, depending on the strength of their character, you know, and, you know, hey, we talking about Kobe now. You know, depending on the strength of their character, it's kind of hard to blame them if they don't want to lose that, you know. Yeah, it's wrong, but I can see where he's coming from. Secondly, or thirdly, what have you, I would like to see exactly what he said in New Yorker, because the actual article itself hasn't come out, and we don't know exactly what was cut and left on the editor's floor, you know. Because I can see where he's coming from. Because you had a lot of athletes in the beginning that didn't get involved with the whole I'm going to wear a hoodie and take a picture type movement that said, hey, wait a minute. If we're not getting ready to go, you know, do some follow-through with this, I don't want to just be making a statement, you know. And if you really think about it, where has the Trayvon Martin movement went since, you know, George Zimmerman was found not guilty and, you know, it wasn't number one thing on TV. You know, when was the last time you seen somebody say anything about Trayvon Martin? You know, we have a tendency as a people, rightly or wrongly, to want to march about everything that happens to us, but marches, you know, that stopped being effective in some people's estimation in the 60s and the 70s. You can march all day long, but that's not, you know, you make a lot of money for individual speakers, give them fame and celebrity, but the actual cause that you're marching for, we never know. No, ain't nothing really changed in Florida. People still getting killed in Florida under Stand Your Ground. And we still going to jail because we can't contribute or we can't take advantage of that particular defense. So like I said, I'm on the fence. I can see it both ways. I'd like to know exactly what he said in its entirety. No, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something, Jerome. Now, here's the deal. Now, this guy, he's an athlete. He's making money. Can we compare him to an average Joe Schmo? I mean, if you have a job and you're making a lot of money and you know that if you say certain things that it may have an adverse effect on your pocketbook, would you say something?
You know, this is just kind of a difficult conversation because, you know, he is a coward, for one. I want to put that out there for a record. And I'm going to say this in a joking way, but I mean that this goes to character. It is like when he got, you know, arrested for choking that girl in Colorado, and he said, well, Shaq do it all the time. Like, I don't trust that dude's character.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jim Brown, when Jim Brown said that, Jim Brown said, you can't run with cats like that. You can't, right? So for him to even talk about black folks in any degree, I'm not asking him to be a leader and I'm not telling him to shut up, but I am saying to him that if you're asking for black folks to help you, you might be barking up the wrong tree, but the truth is black folks have more character than that. Something happened to Kobe, we'll be out there along with them. Now, as far as marching and protesting, you still have to do that. That's what a democracy is about. So when they talk about Jewish people sticking together, when somebody uses this word, or the Italians sticking together, when, and then we talk about marching don't work. We need to be heard someplace because they're still not listening to black folks generally. They put it on people like Kobe to justify derailing the rest of us. And even the woman on whatever by the numbers who said that, she's an idiot for saying that. That disturbs me more than anything in leadership. Jim Brown should have yelled about her because you can't know in this in when you're young and you didn't go through and understand the blatant racism of the 70s and the 80s and all of that, once it became covert, our children should not be saying stuff like black people shouldn't be reacting because if something just happened to somebody black. Because even on this show, I do a bunch of news stories where white folks are getting off of raping and killing folks, and then a black guy gets convicted for stealing a slice of pizza and gets 7 years in jail. You know there's inequity in even their parents and even in the court system, and we still sit here and say things like, we shouldn't react just because they black. You got shot because you was black. Work out the difference.
Wow, those are powerful words, Jerome. What about you, Dr. Prince? Do you think Kobe's responsible for making comments on social issues when he's just an athlete? Because he makes a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean he's the authority as far as, you know, having to come out and say what he has to say. What are your thoughts?
I'm almost nervous to even speak on this. Okay. First, I must say I did not hear Kobe Bryant's speech, but I've been doing my little research while everyone's been answering your questions. And I'm also going to say that, as you know,
Let me read this to you real quick, and I'll let you respond. He says, look, I won't react to something just because I'm supposed to, because I'm an African-American, Bryant said. The argument doesn't make any sense to me. So we want to advance a social and a culture, but say if something happens to an African-American, we immediately come to his defense. Yet you want to talk about how far we progress as a society? Well, we've progressed as a society. Then don't jump to someone's defense just because they're African-American. You sit, you listen to the facts, just like you would in any other situation, right? So I won't assert myself. I think people are pissed off because he's saying immediately come to his defense. When all the issues are out there on the table, go ahead and make your comment, Dr. Princess Aldea.
Exactly. Okay. I was on that same page. I was following you as you were reading, and that's the part I had just read. And the reason that I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to be courageous, even in this form, because I know it could be taken in many different ways as I say it. I've said exactly what he said the whole time we were talking about Trayvon Martin. And when I said
what? Let me make sure you're on the record for this.
Hold on, let me be on the record. This is what I said. Just because he's black, it doesn't mean that we have to jump on his side. And honestly,
Did you say that?
I believe
you said that
yes,
on this show, and we didn't challenge you. That's what you're trying to tell me. I don't believe that.
No, I know. I just said that you did challenge me. That's why I'm saying let me stand courageously in this form because I remember the lashes that I received the last time that I said that.
Well, you're
going to
get them again
anyway,
as soon as you finish your comment, so go ahead.
I know. I'm totally sure of that. This is what I'm saying, and this is what I believe that we as the black race are so guilty of it, okay? I would love for us to come to a point where we can brace ourselves, okay, enough in any scenario for us to gather the information, the facts, before we react. As soon as typically, and I even see it on this forum, Jay, I must say, that as soon as there's something that happens to the black person and has to do with a white person, God forbid, we take up the torch and we're marching with, we've made T-shirts overnight. We do that. We, as a people, I do find that we are guilty of that. And if there is someone who chooses to not necessarily be obstinate, but chooses to say, well, hold on a minute,
I'm not going to just automatically jump on that train. Let me get the facts together. What do you mean the facts? It's right there. But we see it through the perspective of racism. We do. We see it through the perspective of what we've experienced in our lives or just in the life of the Black history, okay? We have come to be, we are wounded by it. We wear it like a badge. And there are times that I believe that we stand first before we gather the facts. And that's just keeping it real. And God forbid if someone, Justice Kobe, comes forth and says, well, hold on a minute. He never said he was for it or against it, but nobody, I think more people would not see that. The only thing they see is, what? You're not going to go with Trayvon Martin, you little traitor. I can't believe you. Oh, my God. He's entitled to his position. He's entitled. All he said was, I want to gather the facts and don't put me in a box just because I'm African-American and just because this happened to an African-American. Allow for me to have the rights that everyone should have and a right for, I think people have, we said people have a right for free trial. I mean, let's pull the facts together first. That's all he said.
Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. Let me say this because I think I can hear what you're trying to say. And, you know, and listen, I've said this on this show before, and I'll say it again, that, you know, there are times when we do play the race card, and the example that I always use is the situation that happened with Reginald Denny. For those of you all who may be too young to remember that, during the whole Rodney King situation, there was a white truck driver driving through L.A. or wherever, somewhere in California, and these three Black kids pulled him out of his truck. They shot him. They hit him upside the head with a bottle. This guy wasn't doing anything. As a matter of fact, an African-American woman came to his aid, brought him into her yard, into her house, to pull him from the mob. And it was just because he was white, it was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, when they identified those three kids who did this, the first thing that the whole community did was they went out and got T-shirts. Oh, they're doing this because we're Black, blah, blah, blah. No, they're arresting y'all asses because they caught you on videotape hitting this man upside the head. So maybe that's where you're going with this. But let me tell you where I'm going to differ from you, okay? Because of the fact that when the Miami Heat, and this is based on, he was asked about the Miami Heat supporting Trayvon Martin. When the Miami Heat came out and did their video, and their, not a video, but their photo, when they took the photo of their hoodies, there was enough information out there that we all knew that George Zimmerman had shot and killed this unarmed teenager. The facts were already out there. So for Kobe to make a comment, well, I'm going to sit back and let the facts play out, is stupid and ridiculous. So there's no excuse for the comments that he made, period, regardless. And Kobe knows this because, Mr. Elias, he's kind of walked back his statements a little bit because after he realized that he started some stuff, he came out on his Twitter account and says, look, Trayvon Martin was wronged. That's my opinion. That's what I believe the facts show. The system does not work. Hashtag my opinion, hashtag tweet your thoughts. So he came back after he realized, let me finish, Dr. Prisco, then I'll give you the floor. He came back after he realized that he had what he said originally, Dr. Prisco, was out of bounds Lakers ball. I don't give a damn what you say or anyone else
said.
Oh,
my God, okay.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Think that he came back. I don't think he digressed. I believe that he clarified and basically he responded to the reactions that people had in the scenario. That's what
he should have said that in the first place.
That's what happened. No, he didn't have to say anything. He said exactly what he should have said.
Well,
he
should have shut up then.
All he said was that categorically, just because I'm an African American, don't put me in a box to say that I'm the supposed
really?
Thing.
First is of that all, what Jewish people up, say about the Holocaust?
Yes, you know why? Because I'm not biased.
Why? Because they stick up for one another. We as Black people are so divided, Dr. D.
Did he say that when he accused him of rape?
Hell no, he sat there and he cried.
Okay.
And he wanted to pin on his Black people.
Okay,
exactly.
Okay.
But don't give him crap about Kobe.
Okay,
Kobe is out there.
We're talking about I'm not talking about the rape case. I'm talking about this right here. His comment. Are we really that gone? Like, seriously? Can we really just look
at
what
he
said?
Are you really that gone and be removed? Kobe is about himself. That's why he turned his boy Shaq in. Kobe is about himself.
That's fine. Maybe he's done some things, but I am talking specifically. I am not talking about the things outside of this particular scenario and the fact of what he
said.
Hold on for a minute, because what Jay just read and what I have just followed along with him right here on this TPNN.com, I just followed on along with him, and I'm going to tell you, based on what he indicated there in that comment, he never said he was for Trayvon or not. The only thing that he stood for... Oh, no, he didn't. See, that's how we're taking the... Hold on. Can I say something? We just talked about this Friday on the Ladies First Radio Show. And I made a comment about the Obamacare and, you know, the fact that those who are not for the Obamacare, they are so not for the Obamacare that they can't see the truth. They cannot see anything other than the point that they are not for it. Therefore, they are not open to hear any truth or hear any facts outside of their current perception of it. And then I also said, I don't want us to fall into that boat. I am so for the President Barack Obamacare. I don't want it to be. I don't want us to think that since we're for it, we're not going to hear the side or the voice of the person who have had things happen.
That's nothing to do with what we're talking about. Exactly,
Dr. Crystal. Let me jump in here. Thank you, Dr. Princess O'D. We've got your position on this. I want to give other people an opportunity to respond. I heard Jerome trying to get in. Jerome, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, because that was just getting crazy. I mean, that's crazy to actually say stuff like, you know, he started out by saying, I'm an African-American, and then distanced himself from African-Americans and then talked about it's not about race. The only reason they asked him about Trayvon is because he was black. And they put him up against LeBron James by saying LeBron James did this. What are you going to do? So they were either trying to vilify LeBron James for doing what he did, and Kobe took the pacifist role in giving them cover to say why all black people shouldn't be doing something. If you black and you don't want to do nothing, sit your butt down and shut it up. But don't start going after black people who actually are doing something. You benefit from the hard work and the sweat and the tears of every other black person who went before you, but now your pacifists behind want to come out against what they're saying? That's propaganda. So you need to be careful of saying that it's okay for us to weigh everything and, you know, some people are blind. There are those of us who are conscious who are not blind. That's why I tell people, watch 12 Years a Slave, and I can't. It's because I'm already conscious about what happened in the past and what's going on right now. So don't tell that to conscious people that they are being foolish. They're not being foolish. The problem is that Kobe, when pit up against black people, takes a white person's stand to distance himself from black people, and that is problematic. And his statement, that is problematic. I've seen the interview. That is problematic when he steps forward to talk about black folks stuff and insert himself as an African-American and take an opposing stand to something that he says, I don't know anything about. If you don't know anything about it, he didn't have to say anything if he didn't know anything about it. But to say we should sit there and learn all of the facts first before we say something, why don't you not say something and let the people with the facts say something?
Oh, my God. He said what he said. He was asked a question. He said, you know what? His position was this. Don't just put me in the box just because I'm black. And you know that's what people do anyway.
He should have asked a lot of questions. You don't give him cover because you don't know what he was thinking when he said that. You cannot give him cover because if he wanted to opt out of being black, he should have opted out of the conversation and said, well, I know nothing about that, so I don't want to go into it. They asked him a specific question about the Miami Heat and LeBron James, and he took the opt-out on being black, although he said he was black.
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous.
Because I'm supposed to, because I'm
Well, he shouldn't have commented then, Dr. Princess Aldea. That's what he went against exactly what he was trying, the message that he tried to convey. He shouldn't have said a damn thing. He should have shut the hell up. Let's get some more comments on this. Vanessa, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, I'm listening to y'all, and boy, this is OD, they're getting you this morning. You know what? I agree with you all by saying he shouldn't have opened his mouth. He should have said, you know what, now's not a good time to discuss it. I'll get back with y'all later. He just didn't comment it. Even though Princess OD is right, they did come at him because he was black and they wanted to know his thoughts on it. I just wouldn't have opened my mouth. That way I wouldn't have offended nobody.
Okay, so is that a cowardice move? Because, all right, we're not going to say anything because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want everybody to come and jump on
you. You
know
what? It might be a cowardless move, but it would not offend his endorsers, which are white. It would not offend the black people who thought he should have sided with them. Sometimes you just have to shut up. And I would have shut up if I was him. He got too much money at stake. I wouldn't have made a comment here nor there. I wouldn't have said nothing about it. I would have made up something and said, you know what, it's just not a good time. Everybody's upset. Let's just let it cool down. I don't have any thoughts. Whatever. He could have made up whatever he wanted. I wouldn't have said nothing.
But you know what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and to go back.
If he would have done that, Dr. Prince,
we have to let – I hear you, sweetie. You're very passionate, and we all are about it, but we got to get other comments in here. I think KP is still live. KP, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, not to start a brouhaha, but I got to ride with Dr. Princess Odelia.
Oh, you're about to start a brouhaha. That's exactly what you're about to do.
I got to give us some battle.
Thank you.
Because I understand what she's saying. And a lot of times we tend to listen to information and process information through the lenses of our own emotions and our own political standpoint, right? I hear what she's saying. And I think what she's saying, and I could be wrong, and I'm quite sure she'll correct me, is that Kobe Bryant got the right, just like anybody else, to either be involved, not be involved, or express an idea or a political point of view that's in, you know, conflict with the main view, right? I look at it more like this. Psychologically speaking, who is Kobe Bryant? Kobe Bryant didn't come up in the hood. You see what I'm saying? Kobe Bryant spent his formative years in Italy while his father was playing basketball over there. He grew up around and with white people. He don't look at life like LeBron do, who grew up in Akron, Ohio. And if you ever been to Akron, Ohio, it's very, 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 you know, less removed or narrowly removed from Gary, Indiana, or East St. Louis.
Yeah, I've been there.
You know, Missouri. It's a working town. You see what I'm saying? He didn't grow up like a whole lot of the NBA players that basically came from nothing to something so could actually – they can identify with Trayvon Martin because they can see themselves as Trayvon Martin. Kobe Bryant can't. He can't. And just because he's rich, just because he's famous, just because he's been one of the, you know, leaders of the NBA over the last 15, 16 years does not necessarily make him wise. I'm with y'all too. You should have shut the hell up, but he didn't. Right. So now we got to look out. What would an intelligent person like him make somebody like that say what he said because of how he was raised?
I agree with that.
That's it. That's
the
all.
Well, now, wait a minute now.
Now, people
didn't jump on Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, remember now, Jim Brown came out to Michael Jordan, Mr. Elias, when he said, hey, look, Mike, you guys need to talk about what's going on with the atrocities in China, the human rights record when it comes to, you know, making your shoes. And what did he famously say, Mr. Elias? When Clinton or someone asked Michael Jordan to support a campaign, and Michael Jordan was like, hey, Republicans buy gym shoes, too. And he left it at that.
Right.
So, you know,
with Jim Brown about Michael Jordan. I'm not going to disagree. I agree with you. I'm not going to disagree. Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player in the world, but he's a coward, too.
Yep.
Hell, he should have spoke up. He's a great man. If he got all that talent, he should have spoke his ass up.
I'll give you another example of that. When Craig Hodges got drummed out of the NBA for supporting black causes, where was Mike at?
Mike is a coward.
All of them cowards.
you know?
Yes.
Oof, man.
They're $40 million slaves. They're $40 million slaves. Let's call it what it is. They are who they are.
Hey, y'all pull up on my man.
I don't
you know
give a damn.
George
I know Michael
said.
Jordan's your guy. I know Michael's your guy. But, yeah, he's a coward.
But he's a coward.
He is a coward.
Oh, damn. Man. It's 36 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J-Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our phone number is 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation. Let's get out to Indianapolis. Naptown, you're in tune to the Serious Side. What's your name and what's your comment?
Steve, calling back again, everybody.
Oh, good morning, Steve. What's going on? What's your comment on this particular topic?
No, it's about this. Now look, my uncle, joint, Miami, Indiana, he said he had some Aryan white supremacists, what they thought about the Trayvon Martin situation. And they said what happened to Trayvon was injustice. So you telling me we've got some white supremacists that think that Trayvon Martin.
Well, repeat that, Steve, because you were breaking up. You're saying that whites. Repeat that because you were breaking up.
In the area. Aryan Brotherhood.
Aryan Brotherhood in the area, okay.
He told him. Trayvon Martin was injustice.
Wow, Steve, you're breaking up real bad, man. I don't know where you are, but it sounds like what he was saying, Jerome, that someone that he knows got with the Aryan Brotherhood, told them that what happened to Trayvon Martin was not cool. So if the Aryan Brotherhood is saying, hey, wait a minute, this is an injustice, how can someone, and I think that's where he was going, how can someone like Kobe Bryant fix his lips to say that, you know, we don't know all the facts and we need to reserve comments until we know the facts, which I remind everyone again that when and we were talking about the whole situation with the Miami Heat, when they took that picture, I think there was enough information out there at that time so you can say, hey, wait a minute, this is the wrong answer. This is wrong. So I think that's where he was going with that, Jerome. Your thoughts?
I just say, really? Because I don't know what to tell you. The issue is, I don't give a damn about no Aryan Brotherhood. Like, seriously, we as black people don't need anybody else defending us to validate our points. And that was my point earlier, is that just because somebody's black don't mean that they speak for all black people. And we as black people don't need white folks to validate us when something's obviously wrong. What could that do for seeing that Trayvon was wrong? Did we not know that? Right, we have to stop validating our thoughts with other people and saying we should be able to convince white folks. I need to wait for all the information. I need to do all of that. There are some things that are just egregious. Like, we need to just step up to the plate and say when something's wrong, just because there's black, just because they're black, you do not have to speak about it when you know nothing about it. And just because they're black, even if they're wrong, you still don't have to speak about it. It's not your job to actually regulate black folks. But that is how Jim Crow worked, right? Slavery had a mechanism in it that made black people tell other black people right or wrong. We're so tied into that we glaze over white folks' stories at all of these teachers sleeping with their students, right? There's another five or six of them that I did that I had down. I wouldn't do it on the program, but another five or six of them just this week. Right? We glaze over that. If they were white, black teachers, we'd be like, oh, my God, what's going on? They should stop hiring black teachers in the school districts. We'd be saying that. But if white people validate us, then we're somehow happier and vindicated. That is sick. We really do have a sick society and need to work that out. Like, I don't know anything else to say about that. We need to work out the fact that we need validation every time something happens in the community, or we're not thinking, or we're just being emotional. That is retarded and silly.
Okay. Can I please say something here?
No.
Yes,
no.
Dr. Prince.
I thought that was me. But she's asking me. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Again, he never said that he wasn't for Trayvon Martin, God forbid. He never denied the fact that Trayvon was wrong, that this scenario was definitely just completely a horrible situation. He never said that. He spoke. I mean, this show, and before I complete my sentence, this show to me is a profound example of the power of perception. We all maybe, it may be a few of us saying the same thing. I may be saying exactly what you're saying, but I'm not saying it exactly like you're saying it. But then you're lashing out because of the implication that there was somebody in this scenario who decides to go opposite of where the majority would go with regards to something that's very sensitive to us, which is Trayvon Martin in that case. However, do we understand that he never said that he was opposed to it, but he spoke of something that was very specific, and he said, I won't react to something just because I'm supposed to, because okay. I'm an African American. And I will agree, and I always say this, wisdom, no, I would say knowledge is power, but without wisdom, it is foolish. Okay, and a lot of times things could be misinterpreted. In this scenario, the only reason it's foolish is because the African American race, it feel like this was another lash to us, and it was very insensitive, and one of us was wronged.
Okay, so all right, well, we have to get everyone's final comments, Dr. Prisoner. We run out of time in this segment. Thank you so much. Let me get everyone's last comment on this, and let me, KP, go ahead and give me your final thoughts on this particular topic as well.
Well, I think we've already agreed that, you know, there's two ways we're looking at this situation. You got one side of the fence, the other side of the fence. He's a coward, but he's entitled to be a coward. That's all I got to say.
Let's sum it up. Jerome, what about you, man? Give me your final thoughts on this particular topic, sir.
Actually, I'm not sure that I have a final thought on that. I mean, he can do what he wants to. Like, nobody's criticizing him for being himself. He can be whoever he wants to. I'm not mad at Kobe for doing it. Nobody is jumping on him for him being Kobe. We're talking about the words that he chose in a position of, of mass media, talking about another athlete stand, a whole team stand against something. It's like when, matter of fact, I guess I do have something to say. When Rodney King happened and they started rioting, the media and everybody went to every black leader they can find to tell them to speak out against the riots. And you know who they convinced to do it? Rodney King. That's where the famous "Can We All Get Along" comes from, because every black person that they went to told them, you are attributing to this happening, and we're not saying jack. We're not defending you, even if they're burning up the community. That is the problem. He didn't have to say anything. So I'm not blaming him. I don't care. It ain't about Kobe, but you're asking us about his words, and your words have power, and learn how to be responsible for your words.
All right. Ms. Elias, may give me your final thoughts on this, man.
I think that the athletes, man, need to speak up for what they believe in, man. You know, hey, why did Jim Brown and why did the rest of them do it? In their day, they were making the same amount of money, but it just wasn't as much. They spoke up for what they believed in. Why can't the athletes of the day speak up for what they believe in?
All right, good thoughts. And, let me, I'll throw one in here. I think that, you know, every now and then people can prematurely play the race card. I'm not going to back off that, but I will say this, that, you know, you call a spade. Bottom line is that Kobe Bryant, when he was asked about the situation, was based on something that the Miami Heat as a team did. And at that point, bottom line is, we all knew what it went down. I don't give a damn. I don't know how much evidence you need. If you know that a young African-American man was shot with some Skittles and freaking sweet tea in his hand, if you're not going to make a comment to support that, then shut your dumb ass up, because we really don't need to hear it. All right, folks. Whew, what an explosive topic. That's what we do here on the Serious Side. Coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. Chatterbox, and we're only 10 minutes away from on a need-to-know basis. It's the Serious Side. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.
Sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
By cross-referencing lists and information, authorities in Washington State have been able to greatly reduce the number of those believed missing after a mudslide in Snohomish County. It's now believed that 30 are missing as opposed to the 90 previously thought. 18 are known dead. The search of the scene continues today.
A magnitude 5.1 earthquake sends emergency crews on the move in Los Angeles. The quake, which struck at 9:09 local time Friday night, centered in La Habra, where it broke water mains and prompted Disneyland to shut down rides. There were no reports of injury or substantial structural damages. Battalion Chief Henry Rodriguez of the Los Angeles County Fire Department said most of the reports of damage were for cracked walls.
It's a huge privilege for us to be here today, to be married in this incredible building with all our friends and our family and now all of you.
All right, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. And I tell you what, Mr. Elias, man, good news is that it seems that, you know, the 90 people that they originally said were missing from the mudslide, that number has been reduced. But yet still, man, what a tragic situation in Washington.
My God, my prayers go out to that family, man. I mean, those families, man, it is a tragic situation. I pray to God that they are, you know, they have mercy on them.
Absolutely. You know, KP, man, speaking of being out there on the West Coast, man, look at that, an earthquake out there, man. My goodness, what the hell is going on? Would you live in California with all the weather situations and things that are going on out there on the West Coast?
I would live there. I actually was stationed there back in the 80s when I was in the Marine Corps. Well, I went to basic training. You know, and that happens more often than people really know. You know, people, they get a 2.1, 2 to 3 magnitude earthquake. They don't even notice that stuff like that. But what I did say, there's a 5%, there's a 5% chance that that could be a precursor to a stronger quake. And that's all they need in Los Angeles right now.
I know that's right. Jerome, you don't get earthquakes on the East Coast, right?
No, but if we get one, it is going to be bad. I mean, we've gotten them before, once probably every 7-10 years, but there's one major fault line that runs from, I think it's Ohio, the Midwest, all the way down to the Carolinas. So when we get one, everybody feels it. It's a big
yeah.
fault line.
You know, Dr. Princess Odilia, two gay men married for the first time in Wales, the UK. What do you think about that?
Well, if they like it, I love it. More power to them, and it goes for, there's definitely a global change and transformation taking place.
And on that note, time for Chatterbox. Final thoughts from not only our chat room, but for social media out there. And I have a couple in here from Momo B, one of our colleagues from the J. Ryle Show. She said, she is switching lanes so fast, I'm getting dizzy. And she's referring to Dr. Prince's All Day You're doing our last segment. She also said, look, I don't see anything cowardly about protecting one's money. She says, my $1 million thoughts will not change the world, but it may affect my pocketbook, and I'm down for that. And I'm not down for that. Okay, Momo. We got one from Pete. Says, look, I totally agree with Mr. Esprit. As blacks, we should stop seeking validation from white people when it comes to issues pertaining to African Americans. And we're going to hear from Cindy. Cindy says, Kobe Bryant is a self-centered coward. He cares for no one but himself, and his past actions has proved this. He threw Shaq under the bus. He cheated on his wife more than once. Who died and made him Dr. Martin Luther King? And we have one here from Spencer. Says, look, Charles Barkley said it best. I'm no role model. Athletes should shut up and stay in their lanes. Yep, it's Chatterbox for this morning. Once again, you can participate in Chatterbox. All you have to do is make your comments. And if they're good enough, I'll tell you what, we'll read them on the air. All right, folks, coming up next, it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Then after that, it's the one and only Jerome Esprit with On a Need to Know Basis. We'll be right back after this edition of Have You Seen Me. Don't go nowhere.
Sir, have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The J. Ryle Show and the serious side of The J. Ryle Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me, where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. We're heading to Louisiana. The Shreveport Police Department is asking for your help in finding a missing girl who hasn't been seen or heard from since Saturday of last week. Police says 12-year-old Karen Young was last seen leaving her friend's house in the 2900 block of West College Street. The girl was said to have left home at around 5:30 p.m. and hasn't been seen or spoken with since that time. Young is described as 5'9". She's 230 pounds with black hair and brown eyes. There was no description available for what she was wearing when she was last seen. If anyone has information on the whereabouts of Karen Young, you're asked to call the Missing Persons Detectives Department at 318-673-7020. That number is 318-673-7020 or the Shreveport Crime Stoppers line at 318-673-7373, 318-673-7373. We pray for the safe return of this beautiful young lady, and we ask that you pray for her family. If you know of anyone who you'd like to see featured on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is pick up the phone right now and call 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. If you're listening to this during a live broadcast, or you can send us an email at thejryleshowatlive.com. That's the J, RILShowItLive.com, or if you're on Facebook, go to our Facebook page, the TGR's Radio Network. Leave the information there, or you can contact me direct on Facebook at JAYRIL. We pray for the safe return of all missing people, regardless of color. And until next time, I'm Jay Ryle. You've been listening to Have You Seen Me, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Take care.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost,
missing, or even abducted.
We need your help.
Contact your local police station for a listing of missing children in your area,
or log on to www.missingkids.com
to obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
Was the next face you see?
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing!
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Petition website has been bombarded by a series of secession
requests.
The White House says the scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus and General John Allen was a surprise to the president.
All right, folks, welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is the calling number. But right now it's time for On a Need-to-Know Basis with the one and only Jerome Esprit. Jerome, man, what do you have, my brother?
All right. Now, consumer confidence surged to a six-year high in March, and home prices increased in January, and that's positioning the economy for stronger growth after, you know, the weather-induced soft spot is what you're saying. So they expect the economy to get that much stronger. As you know, a lot of people made a lot of money, so the economy is great in comparison to what it was definitely before the president took office. It was great.
Yeah,
now,
I agree.
First Lady Michelle Obama encouraged some rural Chinese students to not to let humble beginnings stop them from aiming high, and she spoke during her visit to China. She was there 3 days, and she said how she didn't let her own modest upbringing in Chicago stand in the way of her completing her Harvard degree. So her six-day trip, three-city tour, was delivered to like 700 students as well as 12,000 rural students. And she also referred to LeBron James and Starbucks CEO as examples of people with modest backgrounds who have succeeded in life during her presentation. That was ecstatic, Kobe. speaking of Starbucks, she did mention LeBron James and not Kobe. Anyway, Starbucks CEO came out with a presentation, and Oprah came out because they're going to do a new Oprah chai tea in Starbucks. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but on April 29th, I think it's the launch date nationally, Oprah has her own chai in Starbucks.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't hate. All right, so
I won't.
In California Department of Motor Vehicles, I don't care. I just say it late. All right, the California Department of Motor Vehicles is investigating a possible security breach of its credit cards and processing system. So if you are in California and you've used it between August 2nd and January 31st, your data may have been stolen. So you might want to check on it. Last year,
where?
40 million payment credit, huh?
Where?
This is California. California.
Okay.
So, you know, as everybody knows, some 40 million credit card records were stolen from Target last year, so you know where this is going. They said they don't know of a security breach, by the way. Now, on April 8th, Microsoft will officially end its technical support of Windows HP operating system, which I'm working on right now. The computers running XP will keep working after April 8th, but they need to increase risk of becoming victim of viruses and malware because they're stopping insecurity updates. So they're just saying, this is Microsoft's suggestion. Two options, upgrade to a newer version, pay them, or buy a new PC, pay them. That's their solution. Yeah.
Wow.
Corporate, right? Now, black students are Black students are more likely to be suspended from U.S. public schools and even as small as preschoolers, is what this new report released by the Education Department on their civil rights arm released this week. Black students represent 18% of children enrolled in preschool, but half of them get suspended more than once, is what the report says.
Really?
So so just in case you're wondering, because I had this question, the 6% of the nation's school district with preschoolers report suspending at least one preschool child. So they send that stuff up to the federal government and they aggregate the numbers. Don't think they just did it in the black area. They did all of them who report federally. That is true. 50% of the students are black that are suspended in preschool, but it's only 18% black and overall in all preschools.
How do you suspend kids in preschool, just out of curiosity? I mean, what do they do to get suspended out of preschool?
The president is
go ahead. Might be pulling hair. It might be biting. My godchild, when he was, I think, 3 or right at 4, he got sent home. You know, they give you that call in the middle of the day, say, stop work, come get your kid, because he done bit 2 or 3 kids, he pulled their hair, he's crying, he's screaming, we don't know what to do with him, we can't beat him, so come get him.
Or they can let him beat him. But they said, I think the thing is about preschoolers is instead of sending them to the principal's office, you can't have a zero tolerance for a preschool kid and they spilt their milk and you send them home. So they're getting sent home for egregious stuff because, again, that's 18% and you're not sending white kids home. They're biting and spitting too. So it's not, I mean, I understand the case, but those numbers are crazy. Now,
your volume's a little low, Jerome. You may want to turn your volume up a little bit.
Okay. Now, let's see if I can do that. All right, I turned it up a little bit. Can you hear me?
Sound a lot better. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, a little girl is disappointed of missing her goal of 20,000, but a sixth grader, Katie Francis, still made Girl Scout history by breaking the record of selling 18,107 Girl Scout cookies in their 7-week sales period, which ended last Sunday. Now, the mark prior to that was 18,000 Girl Scout cookies, but she broke the record and made, made Guinness Book, I guess, and they're interviewing her or validating the numbers. Now, here's my question. How much time do you have to put in to sell 18,000 boxes of cookies of something that you're only getting a badge for?
You know, it's funny you say that, Jerome, because we talked about that on the Jay Ryle Show, and I think her mama or somebody was helping her out. But you're right. I mean, you get a little patch, and you sell that. How much does that equate to as far as dollar-wise?
I don't know, but I think those cookies are at least, what, $5.50 now? Or $7.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, but here's the thing. Her mother did say, you know, we load them up in the back of the car. She's a stay-at-home mom, and the little girl goes door-to-door. She said she asked everybody that she sees. And she asked them beforehand so that she can grab a list of people. And I think they're just loyal customers that keep coming back. So if you keep a list throughout the year of who you're selling cookies to, they said initially she loaded up with like 8,000 boxes and got those out. But every time she sells a box, she asks someone else.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep. They said she's a good student. She's an A student. Now, this is the average girl sells. The average Girl Scout sells about 157 boxes anyway. That's still amazing.
Well, my kid has a lot to catch up because she definitely is nowhere near that ballpark figure. My goodness.
Did they leave the house yet? The cookies?
No. Actually, I end up buying them because they never sell them. That's what the hell goes on around here. But I digress. Go ahead, sir.
a Georgia teenager went on a shopping spree after a bank error favored him and gave him $30,000 earlier this month. So the money ended up in his account. And one of the bank employees, you know, processed the deposit into the wrong account. So the teen withdrew $20,000 in cash and made $5,000 in purchases with his debit card. And he got busted when he tried to withdraw some more money. Now, he won't give the money back. They sent the police to his house, and he said he thought it was his inheritance and refused. So they have to take him to court. I don't know what kind of inheritance, but
That's a good lie. You got one. You got to use it. This guy said,
oh,
my heritage, man. So he won't get money back. Now, NCORE officials at the Milton Hershey School strip searched a student in mistaken belief that she had a cell phone, and then told her mother the girl doesn't have a constitutional right because she's in a private school. So the girl took, their parents took them to court. You can't go strip searching children. What's wrong with you?
Wow.
Anywho.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're in court.
Wow.
Now, a police officer in Alabama was fired for talking to the media about corruption in the department, including officers pulling over a mail truck to destroy mail to cover up an arrest. So they actually pulled over a mail truck, tore up all the mail, because whatever the person mailed out was going to put them under their suspicion. See, policemen need to go to jail. That's a federal offense, by the way, for messing with mail. So they all need to go to jail. What did you say?
It was about it, about it.
Yes.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. And I thought, Jay, you might like this one. A food fight between senior citizens broke out at a Golden Corral, which led to a 64-year-old woman being charged with assault and battery. Now, a plate of food was flying at the salad bar in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, because this guy bumped into her at the salad bar, and so she hit him with a she slapped him, and then he pushed her, and then she hit him with a tray, and everybody started throwing food. So the 64-year-old is now charged with two counts of battery and assault, two counts of assault and battery, and is in jail with a $1,500 bond. They locked a 64-year-old up for slapping somebody because of the, you know, they caught her with the surveillance footage. She slapped them first.
I don't know how to take that. Old people and food. I don't know if you're trying to insult me or not, Jerome, but that's okay.
No. I was saying because they arrested a 64-year-old with medieval hands on throwing somebody in jail at 64.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, my grandfather shot somebody through a door. They gave him his gun back. Hey, you bang on his door at night, he tell you go away and you don't leave. That's all I got to say.
Oh, man.
I don't think they should. Hey, I'm just saying, be lenient on the senior citizens. They put in their time, so let it go. All right. Now, a stylist cut off a piece of a man's ear. This is in Houston, by the way, in Harris County. Cut off a part of a man's ear when the owner tried to unsuccessfully glue it back on to the customer.
Whoa. What? You gonna run that by me one more time?
The hairstylist cut a piece of his ear off and then tried to glue it back on with some glue. So he's there now in court because he must have lost his mind.
Maybe they should get in contact with Vander Holyfield, see how he was able to make that happen.
Hey, you know, I was gonna say you didn't see Mike Tyson looking for no glue. Now, one more thing about what was in court is that the FBI must explain why it withheld records from a graduate student about his proposed assassination plot against the leaders of Occupy Wall Street. The FBI was plotting on Occupy Wall Street people. So when we start looking at all of these other countries, I just want you to remember, Occupy Wall Street was a peaceful protest, and everybody jumped on the side of the police mason those kids. Need to be shame and shot about the fact that they're defending all these other countries and their right to speak, and we don't have it here. All right, that's it. That's all I got. I think I'll end it kind of on an angry note. No, I'm just joking. I got it.
Come on, you got to give us a good one before we go. Now that scene, now I'm mad. I want to laugh. Give me one more, Jerome.
I was just thinking about that. That was on a mad note. So,
yeah.
All right. Okay. Let me give you another note that it's still, you know, you can still be mad at this, but it just kind of takes a different feel. Now, there's an African singer behind a new skin bleaching cream called White Nicious, right? He tried to justify the name of the project, which means pure white, I guess is what the translation is. And this child went on TV like Kobe and said, I don't, you know, that saying that it was just to clear up dark spots, but it is better to be white. And
she wanted people to feel better about themselves. So she's on the product of this bleach cream with her face pretty much white. She's Nigerian and Cameroonian singer, Danica.
Wow.
Her response, she says, she don't care about it. She don't care about her story. You don't know her. Is that what her response is? We should hook her up with Kobe.
Maybe we should. Or even better yet, maybe Sammy Sosa. Okay, Drew. Oh, thank you so much.
I have a good one to leave off on. Now, New York has knocked off London from the position of the world's leading global financial center. After seven years, according to the Global Financial Center Index, the rankings that they compiled said that London came in second and New York beat them. So this is the first time, you know, New York, London, Hong Kong, Singapore, Newark, Tokyo, Seoul, Boston, Geneva, and San Francisco. So we're number one in the financial world. All right.
Well, you know what? That's a good one. And on that note, folks, it's time for a news update from NPR News, and then we'll be back with our final thoughts. Don't go nowhere.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Australian authorities have appointed the country's former Defense Forces chief to lead the ongoing search for Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. As Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, ships have recovered some debris from the search zone, but it has not been linked to the missing jet.
Retired Air Marshal Angus Houston will head a new coordination center in the Australian city of Perth. He'll supervise the massive international search that's been going on for more than a week now off the west coast of Australia. While Malaysia still holds the ultimate responsibility for the missing plane under international law, Houston will handle day-to-day communications and coordination of all the countries involved, as well as deal with an increasing number of families of passengers expected to travel to Australia as the search progresses. Out in the Indian Ocean, two Malaysian Air Force planes have now joined the search for the first time. Chinese and Australian Navy ships have recovered several objects spotted by planes over the past couple days, but most of it has turned out to be debris from fishing boats. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
Turks are voting in local elections that are being seen as an unofficial referendum on Prime Minister Recep Erdogan and his government. The BBC's Salem Garage reports from Istanbul.
The Prime Minister hasn't made a secret that he wants to run for the presidency, and the presidential elections will be coming soon. So these local elections are considered to be like a referendum because these are being held amid corruption allegations, and these are the first elections after the mass protests last summer. So these elections and the support that the Prime Minister will have actually will be a significant sign to determine the support he will have for the presidential elections coming this summer.
The BBC's Salem Garage reporting from Istanbul. Millions of uninsured Americans have until Monday to select a health coverage plan or face penalties. As Veronica Zaragovia of member station KUT in Austin reports, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is concerned that political opposition in Texas is holding back enrollment numbers.
Roughly 25% of the Texas population is uninsured. In Austin, Secretary Sebelius renewed her call for Texas leaders to expand Medicaid eligibility to chip away at that number.
Because if Texas doesn't take up the portion of the Affordable Care Act that would expand Medicaid coverage for the lowest income working Texans, there still will be a major coverage gap.
Sebelius says about half of the roughly 5 million uninsured in Texas would qualify under the expanded Medicaid. But Governor Rick Perry says expanding the program as it is now would take up too much of the state's budget. Sebelius notes Texas is losing about $18 million a day in federal dollars that would fund the expanded program. For NPR News, I'm Veronica Zaragovia in Austin.
This is NPR.
All right, folks, it's been a wonderful show. Once again, thank you all for participating in The Serious Side, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. But it's time for our final thoughts, and ladies are first around here on The Serious Side. Dr. Princess, I'll do your final thoughts.
Great show. I enjoyed myself this morning. Love you all so much. I want to just leave with this. Perception is everything. And it is important for all of us to study to show ourselves approved in any scenario. But remember that knowledge is power, but without wisdom, its education may be interpreted as foolishness. So let's use wisdom in our distribution of the knowledge that we have, but be strong and courageous to speak aloud what you know is truth, or what you come to know is truth. So I just want to say, everyone, to have a great, fantastic week. Don't forget to visit me online at bountifulgroup.com, and also join me on Twitter, because I've just started my new Twitter page. It's Princess Adelia_. So just Princess Adelia and one underscore. I have a couple pages, but that's the new one that doesn't have viruses, and I would love to chat with you. Okay. Love you all. Thank you. And on Facebook, too. Oh, one more thing. Don't forget to visit TransformingDetroitTV.com, and if you're in the area, we'll be back live, and we need your support, but we will be back live in April. TransformingDetroitTV.com and on the air, WADL, Channel 38 in Michigan and Canada. Love you. I'm so glad that Jay gave me all of that time to talk. I think his mic is off or something. But anyway, I'm taking advantage of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Princess Adelia. Thank you. Thank you very much. Jesus Christ. Okay, KP, final thoughts. Jeez.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get a virus.
I know.
My last comment is going to be about one of the things they talked about on NPR. 25 people in Texas not being covered by insurance because of Governor Rick's refusal to expand Medicaid. He said it's because it's expensive for the state of Texas. It's 100% paid for by the federal government for the first X number of years, 90% afterwards. Not get ready to be governor anymore, what do you care? Other than the fact that it's something stick in the eye of the person who happens to occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Street, Washington, D.C. Racism and racism only.
All right, appreciate it, KP. Thank you so much. Jerome, final thoughts.
Yes, the Affordable Health Care Act was and is successful. They announced that it's over 6 million people who signed up. They won't know what the final numbers are until later on next month. But the initial assessment of signing up is 6 million. And they had over 1 million a day for the last 7 or 8 days. So it is, although the reporting is kind of strange, don't worry about it. It is successful. Stop the criticism. And on the note of defending black people without knowing, I wanted to say free Judge Joe Brown, but he is free. So on that note, I'll have to let him go. But, we'll talk about that news story later. But free Joe Brown. We did our job.
Thank you, Jerome, man. The man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the one and only Mr. Elias. Final thoughts.
Well, I think it was Dr. Martin Luther King that said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Well, hell, we always talk about what the athlete, he's only an athlete, he's only an athlete. He has a larger platform than we do. And because he has a larger platform than we do, at least stand up for something you believe in. You know, I know it affects millions of dollars, but hell, your talent should outshine any kind of money that they're trying to pay you. So I say stand up for what you believe in, because if I couldn't speak my mind and stand up for what I believe in, I would lose it.
I want to take a few minutes to say something about one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. This is a person that I've been knowing and been around for almost all of my life. A person that anytime I head down an avenue to try to do something, that person has my back. This person is a person that you all know this guy. Yeah, you know him. And if you can't figure out who I'm talking about by now, then you know what? Maybe you haven't been listening to the show long enough. I want to wish a very special happy birthday to my brother, to the man who I love so dearly, the man that I know that no matter what I do, if I fall, I know he got my back, to the man who's about to close out the show, So, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday, my friend, what time is it?
We're talking about the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
Absolutely. I'm talking about my main man, Mr. L.E.S. Love you, bro.
Thank you, my brother.
So, for Dr. Princess Aldea, for KP, for Jerome, and my main man, Mr. L.E.S., I'm Jay. Enjoy the rest of your work week and forget. And don't remember, remember people, we're talking serious stuff. And it's Sunday. It is the serious side of the J-Rao Show. We'll see you next Sunday, folks. God bless.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.